Blog Talk Radio.
The scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel your bridge fall like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain.
We're going to have a prophetic roundtable kind of going on here.
and it's about predictions and predictions of this new year that we're in. And I'm going to be playing a little bit of Revelation just to kick all this in, because everybody's saying, and we're all seeing and feeling, this is the end of the age, and Revelation is about the end of the age, as we all know. So it's going to be really, really a good show this morning. And I'd like to thank Chris and Chuck for being on here with me this morning. How y'all doing, guys?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, good to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you on here, Chuck. How you going down here in South Carolina?
Well, we're cold just like you guys. Maybe not as cold, but it's a beautiful, crisp morning. Jesus woke me up early, so it's an awesome day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Chris, how's it going down your way? Is it going pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going real good. Looking forward to the new year and all the things the Lord has in store.
Amen. How did that burn go last night, man?
It was good. Yeah, it's always good. Get a little stirred, get a little focused time in there with Jesus, you know.
Yeah, I enjoy it, man. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go right into Revelation 1. I'm going to go right into the Word here. This is coming off of the Word of Promise series, biblical series. It has a lot of the great actors acting this out. It's got a lot of detail to it. You'll have a lot of the known actors that's playing a lot of biblical things, and some of them just well-known actors. And I hope you do enjoy it. I'm going to start doing this more often here on the show to really add a little bit of life to the scriptures and really make you more interested in them at times, you know, just really bring you into them. And I think this actually helps. And this Word of Promise, you can find at any local bookstore. It has all the books of the Bible in it. You can listen to it on your cars, you know, at home, in private, however you feel like you need to. It's really designed for this. And I really, you know, I really put this out because this has really touched my family and really brought us closer to the Lord and really opened our eyes to the details and stuff. And really, and it's very entertaining for children, too. I mean, if you're going down the road and, you know, you want to teach your children something about the Bible, stick one of these CDs in, and it'll entertain them. And it'll really open their eyes to the Word of God and make it more interesting to them instead of some old guy sitting there trying to read. That is acted out, and they get to see it in their minds, let their imagination work. And that's what this does. This will help you make your imagination work and help it really bring things alive. So we're going to go ahead and start with Revelation 1.
The Revelation of Jesus Christ.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet.
the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.
Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me.
Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty. But you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen, amen. And I'm going to just jump right into Revelation 3.
And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen, amen. That's a great word of God there. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to throw us into a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get on the prophetic roundtable, and we're all going to discuss this, and we're going to go back in. We're going to bring together what the Lord has given us for this year. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Ben, host of the Healing Light Show. We got co-host Chris Crutchfield. We got Chuck here, Chuck McDonald. He's here with us today. We're having a prophetic roundtable kind of today. And one thing I got to say before we do all this is our interpretations. The Lord gives us things. We may get it correctly, and we may see it a little bit wrong. So, you know, take everything with a grain of salt and sit with it with the Lord and see what you get out of it. It may be for us. It may be, you know, it may be for y'all and everybody. So, you know, anytime that somebody gets something, you know, it can be difficult. It could be right on. So, you know, just take it and really sit on it and really let the Lord tell you stuff from that. So I just want to go out with that. I mean, start with that first. And this year, you know, it's going to be a unique year. And I really, really want to start out with Revelation because, like I said at the beginning, this here is the start. You know, we're coming into the new age, they say, that Revelations is really kick in, and Revelations is something I want to start out with. I couldn't play all the Revelations. We'll be here all day long. So I had to start out with at least about three of them. But now, Chuck, what did you get out of the playing of Revelations there? He was telling us
why. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty awesome to me how Jesus would say, I'm glad you played the first three chapters, because he spoke specifically to the church. He had a certain message he wanted to get to the church. So there was a corporate message, but also inside of that, he said, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So there was a lot of individuality in each of the messages as well. So the church at Laodicea got a word, but it got a different word than Thyatira. So when you get into the prophetic, like you and I, we run together, me, you, and Chris, but we also run separately in different circles. So I may be downloading something that can fit us all together, and I may be downloading pieces that maybe just fit a different circle than I am or for me individually. So God does speak corporately, but he also can speak individually. And so when we get into the prophetic, you have to have this mindset that the prophetic should confirm something in you. If I say something today and it registers something inside somebody in the listening audience, it should be a confirmation that, yeah, that's what the Lord's saying to us as well. So it's not like we're trying to sit here and say, this is what God's doing and you need to line up with it and come with this real legalistic view of the prophetic. But more of a fact that there's so many people on the planet, God speaks to us individually and he speaks to us corporately.
Amen, amen. That's correct, Chuck, because I know when they talk about Revelations, and back then Revelations was meaning Israel and the Far East and all that, and they've not really discovered America yet. And, you know, and see, each continent is going to, you know, discover their own revelations. I mean, we all going to see Jesus, but our lands is going to discover something differently. And, you know, it'll be more like the same, but we're going to be discovering something differently. It's like the North America is going to be discovering something different than Europe. And, you know, Israel and all that, it's already wrote in stone in the Bible there. You're going to see what's going to happen to Israel right there. But all lands is going to discover something differently. And it has been let out slowly what's going to happen to all the lands. And, I mean, I've got a lot of stuff in the last year about different things. And, you know, Tammy Sullivan was talking about, she was praying over the countries and over this North Carolina, South Carolina, all that stuff. She's doing her thing like that. When I heard everybody talking about that, first thing came to me was one of the things that fell on our country was Vietnam. It was kind of like a sinful thing for our country was Vietnam. It was something bad that was fell on our country was from Vietnam. And Nam hit me hard. You know, hit down for Vietnam, Nam. And I'm not a big Vietnam fan. My father's been in that. I know a lot of people, but I don't really concentrate on that. I'm not really on that. But the Lord hit that on me. Nam put a stamp on our country. It did something to it. And then we did a lot of other crazy wars, you know. And that is one thing that I really ask people, you know, when they're praying, you know, repentance for Nam, you know, please, you know, remove this. Nam, you know, we're holding that up in your prayers. Hold that up for your country. And that's one thing that I got back a long time ago. I think about December I got that, or whenever, you know, I started getting stuff. But anyway, there's a lot of things coming in. And one thing that I picked up was about, I think it was right before the New Year's, the Lord said, grow close to Him. Be more intimate with Him. And, you know, all preachers say it, be intimate with Christ. And I'm saying right now it's more important than ever. And He said, this is the last call. I got last call. So, you know, if you're straying back and forth and you're stuck in this and that, get out of it and go to your roots where you started. You came from the church, you go back to the church. He's calling you home. He's calling you back. If you were swaying, don't sway no more. Come back. Now, last call. So that's one of my main words for everybody, for everything, is last call. Come back to the Lord. Grab onto His shoes. You know, get close with Him again. Get out of your old ways. Just come home, because He is calling you home. He's calling you to, He's calling His bride in. And He's wanting His bride to come to Him now, to gather around Him, gather back to the body that they was connected to. So that's one of the main words that I've got. And I've got other words for things that I'm going to get into later, but I'm going to go ahead to Chris. Chris, what did you pick up, man?
Well, like, I just really been thinking a lot about the responsibility that we have. And I was thinking about, like, just some of the stuff that I've always lived by, the scripture that says He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that's Hebrews 11. I think it's verse 6. It's right in there somewhere. But I know that when you're hungry for the Lord, that He's going to pour out. You know, He's going to pour out on you. And this scripture stood out to me. I'm going to read it. It's Revelations 3:14. Or, excuse me. It's 12. It says, the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and never again will they leave. And I'll write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of the New Jerusalem when it's coming down from heaven from my God. And anyway, that kind of stood out to me, because it was showing, like, it was showing that your responsibility really, I mean, it is to come after Him and to keep growing in Him. And I think that he does reward you. And also, last night, like, I had this vision of people holding up this bowl. It was like a bunch of hands holding up this big bowl. It was, like, full of like, anointing oil and, like, the goodness and the abundance of God. And then, like, that bowl turned into this pitcher and started pouring out. And, like, I realized that, you know, the more we lift up the name of the Lord, the more that we catch the things that are rightfully ours. And I think about that scripture that says He's already given you all spiritual gifts, you know. And it's a matter of knowing Him and walking with Him and, you know, realizing what He's already done for you. Because He said it was finished. And, like, I really believe that, you know, you got to want it. You know, and I know He draws you, and it's His grace and stuff like that. But I know that there's this year holds as much as you want it to hold. It's like, where are you satisfied? You know, and I believe that if you'll get in faith and step beyond the normal, you know, get outside the box a little bit, you'll see the Lord's hand move in such a mighty way that it'll absolutely begin to blow your mind. And even if you don't believe that, like, if you just act and just test it out, acting like you're believing it, it's like He'll honor you just because you're moving, you know? And like Curry Blake says, I heard him say one time, he said, if you'll just get out there and doing it, start doing things because the Word says it, you'll act yourself into believing. pretty funny.
Man.
I don't want to take up too much time.
Yeah. Chuck, what have you picked up on anything this year? What's coming y'all's way down there in South Carolina?
Yeah, well, I let me back up just a little bit to May, because I had got something in May that I didn't realize was for this year. We were at an event in Dunn, North Carolina, called it Night Triton. Mike, that was the first time Mike Thornton had set up his tent, and Tammy Sutherland were there, and there was 50 hours of nonstop worship, and they allowed, there's, you know, like if you have a certain word, you can approach them, and they'll let you deliver the word. And I had gotten a word on inheritance. A lot of the verbiage that weekend was about harvest and how, you know, to harvest the souls, the time, the end time harvest, Joel chapter 2, all that good stuff. And but I had a word on inheritance. And harvest is a one-time thing. Inheritance is a series of harvests. So it's a multiplied thing. So I really started, over the year, God started talking to me about inheritance. Now, springboarding up to 1st of December, it was like me and God was almost having a conversation where we were coming up on New Year's Eve, and we had a big event planned in Bergall Conference we were going to, and he started talking to me about New Year's Eve, and I'm like, okay, what's about New Year's Eve? And God was like, why is it always plural? Why is it New Year's Eve? You're celebrating 1 year. And to me, I thought, well, God, that's a pretty good question. I don't have the answer to it. So in that, he was showing me, he was telling me that what I'm about to do in 2015 is going to be multiplied. It's going to be massive. On the Jewish calendar, it's the year of 5775. Five is the number for grace. Seven is the number of completion. So it's complete grace, but it's also two numbers of each one, so it's multiplied grace. So that stuff just started setting my sensors off, and I started thinking about it and praying into it. And as I, right before I went into New Year's, I was at a local place here where we were doing a 12-hour deal, and I was delivering that word that, you know, 2015 is going to be the year that it's going to be years of stuff. Like, it's going to take 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018 to accumulate all that God's wanting to pour out. So I ran with that word, and I got to the New Year's Eve service we were at in Bergall, North Carolina, and then God showed me. He said, Chuck, hold on, you're missing it. It's not about 4 or 5 years of accumulated stuff. It's about 4 or 5 years of accumulated stuff coming into 1 year. So to me, prophetically downloading into me, what I feel for us and maybe for you guys is that 2015 is going to be a year that it may take us 5 years to get at a certain amount of glory is going to be dumped into the year 2015. We know we're in the end times. We're on borrowed time. We got all those cliches we could throw out there. So I believe 2015 is the year of an inheritance. An inheritance is a massive amount of harvest that my Father does, and then I get it. It's what Jesus told his disciples when he was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. After he had talked to the woman, he was talking to his disciples. He said, you'll reap a harvest that you bestowed no labor upon. And so I think that's what 2015 is encompassing, is just, it's harvest. It's not just financial. It's not just spiritual. I mean, it's like what I would have to struggle and fight and dig to get in 5 years, I'm going to receive in this 1 year. So that just sets me off. And if nobody else wants that word, I'll take that word for me, because, I mean, it's right where we're living. It's just because
Amen. We
so hard, you know, in ministry and in life and just pressing into the kingdom. When God says, okay, I'll multiply it, you take it. You throw your hands in the air, you shout hallelujah, and you say, come on, Lord, dump it on me.
Amen. That's awesome. I know there's a lot of things, you know, when it comes to talking about the year, that, you know, a lot of times, like you said, during the year, pick up things for the coming year, what's coming. And a lot of times that's how it falls to play. It's just like, you know, when I would get words of knowledge and stuff, even with the presidential thing, I'll get it, like, I have got things a year beforehand, like, they'll be talking on the news about the presidential thing, and all of a sudden, Lord's like, yeah, Obama will be good. Then all of a sudden, it's like, he already knows what's going to happen, dude. It's already wrote down. He already has everything in his hands. He knows exactly how it's going to fall through. And he just delivers it to you when he thinks it's time for you to grab it and grasp it. And it's kind of unique. And, you know, none of us is is, I'll say, more important than one another, because we all can get words of knowledge from the Lord. I mean, that's just basic. Like Chris said, that was just basic relationship. Basic relationship is all it is, and just really keep on asking and seeing what he gives, and just write it down. And there's some people, it's good at keeping it in memory, you know. You know, when you get a word of knowledge, you're like, yeah, I got it. And you keep on remembering. You always remember this word of knowledge because it's the first one you got, you know, or the second one you got. And you're just very excited about what you got. And I know some people that does this type of stuff, they have got so many that they do forget at times about what it is. And you may, it may be, you know, like something that's very important to anybody, it stands out in your mind, and you'll remember it, you know. And that's how it is with a lot of things. But there's some things, like when you set your mind to, you are going to remember what he gives you, and some things that the Lord will lock into your mind where you can't forget it. And that's awesome too. But anyway, I want to get into Jeremiah 1. Go ahead, man.
Can I say something right quick? It's like I was just reminded of this, like last night I seen this fiery trumpet. And I just felt like that this year is a call, you know, to come deeper, and a call to, like, be stretched and allow the Lord to stretch you farther. And I think it's a year of boldness, because the trumpet is like a battle cry, and it's like a warning cry. And, I mean, it's a victorious thing, you know. It's like, and I believe the fire was just showing me that, you know, there's like an ignition on it, and there's like an abundance on it. And I mean, the scripture says that he came to give us life, and life more abundantly. And I think the more that you step out risk, the more he's gonna, I mean, when you take those risks, you're gonna be met with his goodness. I mean, because he so delights in you moving out on him, that he honors you, and he's a God of honor. And when you speak on his behalf, he's going to speak to you. And he's out to bless and be a blessing, you know, and affect the world. And ultimately he does want that relationship. And, you know, that closeness. But I had to say that, man, because it was like quick and to me.
This prophetic word is going to be coming out of Jeremiah 1. It's going to start at 6. And I'm going to tell you how I got this. Me and Heath Adams, we had our meeting, was talking about going overseas and different things like this. And as soon as I got home, the Lord hit me, and I was wondering why all these people of the Lord is coming out of the woodwork here in North Carolina in the South, and all this is coming out and doing a lot of things, kind of like I'm trying to think of your buddy down there in Wilmington, Chuck. My mind just went blank.
Mike.
But anyway, just like Mike Thornton, a bunch of other folks is coming out of the woodwork. And the Lord gave me this, and it was just, I mean, I was just wondering, why am I called at this time? I mean, this is something I'm not really used to, is doing this type of stuff. And he gave me this. I mean, as soon as I came into my prayer room, I was just, somehow Jeremiah was open, my eyes just hit this. It says, but I said, as this Lord Jehovah, here I actually do not know how to speak, for I am but a boy. And Jehovah went on to say to me, do not say, I am but a boy, but to all those to whom I shall send you, you should go, and everything that I shall command you say should speak. Do not be afraid because of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, is the utterance of Jehovah. At that, Jehovah thrust his hand out and caused it to touch my mouth. Then Jehovah said to me, here I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have commissioned you this day to be over the nations and over the kingdoms, in order to uproot and pull down and to destroy and tear down, to build and to plant. So this here is talking about tearing down the old church, the ones that's been messed up, the fire of God's been drained out, for us to tear that down and uproot that, to uproot that and rebuild the original. And the word of Jehovah continues to occur to me, saying, "What are you seeing, Jeremiah?" So I said, "An offshoot of an almond tree is what I am seeing." And Jehovah went on to say to me, "You have seen well, for I am keeping awake concerning my word in order to carry it out." And the word of Jehovah proceeded to occur to me the second time, saying, "What are you seeing?" So I said, "Wide mouth cooking pot blown upon what I am seeing. It is the mouth is always from the north." And this Jehovah said to me, "Out of the north, calamity will be loosened against all the inhabitants of the land. For here I am calling for all families of the kingdom of the north, is the utterance of Jehovah. And they will certainly come and place each one his throne and entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all her walls around about, against all the cities in Judah." Now, this here is talking about a little something different, but it was talking about the north, how he's going to, you know, come in and he's going to really, really bring up the families of the north. To me, it was indicating North Carolina. It was coming of the north of the United States. And it was kind of how he's taking the families of this part of the country and bring them up and put them around his church of Israel. And it really brought something to me, and it kind of opened my eyes. And one thing that I was really realizing was, you know, I was worried about, am I going to say the right things when I'm out there, you know, going amongst the people preaching and stuff? Is it going to be correct the way he wants it? And the first thing that popped into me, "I will put my words in your mouth." And that's one thing a lot of people was talking about when they're going out preaching and stuff. Hey, am I going to mess up? What's going to happen? You know, you always have that little nervousness in you. But the Lord, when you're doing his will, he will put his words in your mouth, and they will spew out of what you need to say. And that's one thing that really touched me, and I shared some of that with Heath, and he's like, "Man, that's a word right there, man." I thought, like, cool. So what y'all get out of that, man?
I really got, like, the, like he's anointed you to go out into the nations and to go forward and to do his will. It's like I think about this statement, if not now, when? You know, it's like, I mean, if you're always looking to do something tomorrow, it'll never get done. If you wait till you're ready, till you feel like you're ready and you're perfect, then it'll never happen. But if you go out there and you take steps towards your call, towards what you know the Lord's saying to do, it's like, I just believe that he honors you moving forward, you know. And I believe that he qualifies the called. I don't think the called are qualified. And I mean, he takes the weak of the world to confound the wise, you know. And these scriptures just stir in my heart, and there's such motivation, you know. And the more you keep your focus on the how vast and how big God is, the more everything else just, it's pale in comparison, you know. And it's like his ability takes over. I mean, you're trusting in him and in the mind of Christ and being connected and aligned with the mind of Christ and in that unity with him, it's like you're able to do way more than you can do when you're looking at yourself. Because I mean, it's just amazing. It's just so big. And I mean, and the more you do that stuff, the more you realize how big he is, because he really takes over.
I mean,
he really ushers I mean, it's more like you're ushering the presence of the Lord. And I mean, the responsibility is keep communicating, keep growing, stay in the Word, you know, all that stuff. You know, and I mean, he will just do mighty things through you. I believe every one of you are called to great and mighty things. And don't despise small beginnings, you know, like I just
said.
That's
true. What's so awesome is he's calling forth the families of the North. And that's what really, really touched me, is because there's a lot of people coming out of this state that is doing a lot of good things, that they are always been behind the wall. You know, they've been a secret Christian, you know, they've did their own thing, but all of a sudden they're bringing these people out, these families out, to stand forward. And I see that, you know, the enemy don't want this. He don't want these families to come out. He's going to put things in front of them where they can't move, but they're stepping over that, because whatever the Lord has a, you know, commissioned, you can't stop it. No matter what walls he puts up, they can't stop it. And the thing of it is, these families are going to come out and do some tremendous things this year. And I may be one of them. Chris may be one of them. And, you know, a lot of these people may be doing a lot of things, but, you know, we're going to be making a, and Chuck, you're going to be one of them too, whether you're in the South. But anyway.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
But I ain't going to leave him out. But anyway, it's going to be some cool things coming out there, and I think there might be a lot of people being called to this way, maybe called to the South, to the North, and maybe a lot of the people in the South came from the North. I mean, who knows? But anyway, these families is gonna be uprooted and sit amongst as the representatives of Israel, of the of Jesus Christ, and we're gonna be doing a lot of things and opening doors and stuff and uprooting the old church and putting in a new root, putting in the new seed, the original seed, not the old seed, not something that, you know, it took years and years manipulate the Word of God, but uproot that and put in the new seed, the original seed, to grow up and create that almond tree like they were talking about, the strong tree, the strong roots. And that's why I think is going to happen, you know, this year from that word. And it's kind of unique. Go ahead.
One thing I did see last night too, when I was spending time with the Lord, is I seen like a the thing on the map that's got the north, south, east, and west, it's like the directional thing. And I just felt like the Lord was speaking about going, broadening your horizons, or, you know, like stretching you out. And, like, I mean, there can be travel there and stuff like that. But another thing I was going to say was let the Lord establish the boundaries. You know, I mean, I believe that every one of y'all are called. Let me read this part of the scripture, because it just seemed to be gleaming at me. It said, hold on just a second. It says, all the families of the kingdom. And I was just sitting there thinking, wow, that stood out to me so much. Like, he's calling all the families to him, you know, to be effective and to really broaden their horizons and stretch their territories and really their effectiveness. And I don't know, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, all families are involved, but it was kind of unique how we've seen a lot of people coming out of the North as well, and it's kind of unique to me. And it's you know, it's just something there that it could be for me and could be for a few of my friends, which is pretty cool. But anyway, it's something to look out for if I got any fellow people at Dozeby and really know what I'm coming from here, that he's calling us. He's calling us up forwards and start doing your ministry and start doing what you're supposed to do. And he's really using us, being a big way in this area. And, you know, don't forget that. And he is calling us back to the body. He's calling us back to the body. He's calling us to grasp in and start uprooting these old roots. And That's just one word there. But and another thing that I actually picked up, it was, you know, later this or beginning this week, and I was actually trying to find something for this show, a little bit more stuff. And I got three parts of the year, and this could be, you know, this could be for you, it could be for me, it could be for somebody out there in another country, I'm not sure. But the first thing of the year, I got what's going to happen is going to be a explosion of things happening. I got there's going to be some movement of the earth. We're already getting earthquakes. We're already getting that, but I got volcanic explosions going on too. I got that earlier, volcanic explosions going on. It could be explosions in your ministry, explosions in your family life, explosions that's going to be happening at the first part of this year. It may be already going. I mean, I don't know. But then the second part of the year, I got there's going to be a birthing. It's going to be a birth coming, a birthing of the. It could be the birthing of a you in Christ that you never saw before. You know, all the things you've been praying for, it's going to birth right in front of you. It's going to plink, you know, it's going to be there. It's going to come out. It's going to be a birthing of a new you that you never saw. You're going to see what you really are in Christ. It's going to be birthed in front of you, what you've been praying for, what you've been wishing for, what you've been fasting for. It's going to be birthed right in front of you. Now, this is going to be happening in the middle of the part of the year. The end part of the year, it was kind of like plain. I didn't really see nothing. I just saw a vehicle, a car, and I think we're going to move. So I'm not going to say, I'll ask as much as I'm going to say right there, and I can't go no further. So I ain't going to start making crazy predictions, you know, oh, we're going to be raptured, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't say. I'm just saying I just felt nothing, and I saw a car. So that's what I saw at the end of the year. So I'm going to leave it at that. So y'all can take that with y'all's hearts and just plead on it and see what the Lord has for y'all with that. Now, Chuck, what else have you got?
Dude, you were just messing me up with what you were saying, man. First, let me just jump back a little bit to the Jeremiah 1 thing. When you said Jeremiah 1, the first thing that immediately comes to my mind is I knit you and formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before the beginning of time. Identity is critical to who we are. And I think most Christians, most churches fail because they really just don't understand who they are. And Chris was kind of hitting on that a little bit, too. It's just the understanding. Because you start, let me go into what you were just saying. You talked about an explosion in the spirit, and that's just what I feel. But you started out talking about devastation, earthquakes, volcanoes. And my mind went to the scripture that says the earth is groaning and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is literally screaming, somebody look like Jesus, please. We need Jesus on the planet. So the birthing you're talking about, now this is just stuff I'm just freshly getting. So because when you were talking, man, I could have run around my house for days just on what you were just saying, what the Lord was showing me. So the birthing is actually that coming to pass, our identity being so solid that we start moving out the sons of God into the earth, and that's the birthing. I mean, Jesus had to be birthed into the earth through Mary. God didn't just drop him off and say, okay, go figure it out, son. You know, there was a natural process, and so we have to do the same thing. And so it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. It's Jesus being in us but coming out of us all the time at shopping centers, at the gas station, at, you know, just people who are not hungry for microphones and pulpits and not hungry for limelight, but they're just living it every day, walking it out every day, just manifesting Jesus on the planet. And what struck me strange was when you said you got nothing for the end of the year and you just saw a car. Now, when you said car, that struck something in me because I have a lot of dreams, and I learned I'm careful behind who I read about dreams because there's a lot of people who can throw some flaky stuff out there. I read something behind Terry Stone because his dad was 100% accurate when it came to a dream. So, you know, I limit myself to who I trust with that stuff because I want to hear from the Lord, not from a man. But a car always in dreams usually represents some form of ministry. Like if you're in a dream driving in a car, it's your ministry going somewhere. So I thought, wow, the earth is travailing for the sons of God to come out, manifest themselves into a ministry, but you felt like it was going nowhere. What I got was it actually was normal. It's just normal. It's the kingdom of God in the earth. That's what we should be. It should be normal. Signs, wonders, miracles, you know, living it on the street every day. That ministry is not a plaque on your wall with a title. Ministry is when I can fill my truck up with gas, the person across from me should get the kingdom of God. And, or if I go to a shopping center, if I go grocery shopping, if I'm, no matter where I'm at, if I'm at the post office, if I'm at the bank, the kingdom of God should normally come out of me. And I know we're running out of time. Let me throw just one thing on the end of this. I love what Bill Johnson says. Bill Johnson from Bethel Church in Redding, California. He says, it's like we ask God for something as big as an oak tree, but he gives us an acorn. So he plants the seed in us knowing that the oak tree is inside of the acorn. So it has to grow. It has to just normally grow due to natural things over the years to become an oak tree. So that's just what I was just getting when you were just saying. I hope that kind of goes along and didn't mess up anything. I'm excited.
That's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. It's kind of like when I was saying it, it was like God was adding more to it while I was talking about it. So it was like he gave his topics and then he gave me a rest up while I was speaking it. So, you know, who knows? It's Chris, what you get, man?
Man, it's all that stuff is good. I'm just like, I'm sitting here thinking a little bit of how, you know, we're closer than we've ever been to the Lord's return. And if you look at the world, there's a lot of shaking going on right now. I mean, there's like people dying constantly, and there's all this like just craziness going on around us. And I think we're just called to be that light and to really do it beyond all we can think or imagine, and do it in such a way where we're in expectation of God. And I think about like all things are possible to those that believe. And I believe that the possibilities are just endless for this year. And I'm just like, I'm so excited, man, because I know I'm going for it, you know. And I know I'm opening that door. All I know how to open that door to the Lord, you know, giving him time and trying to push in just as hard as I can. And I really want to motivate people and really just develop hunger in the hearts of people to really go for it, man, because there is such a satisfaction in him. There's nothing like it. It's just amazing.
The Lord just gave me something for you, Chris, and this is pretty cool. But he says he showed me that you're blooming this year. You're blooming. So I saw a flower blooming. So that's awesome.
That's cool.
It's some awesome stuff happening this year. You know, everybody should, you know, just, you know, if you're in your ministry, really, really go with it. Really, really boom out some things in your ministry. It's like, you know, radio thing's my thing. I'm really boom out some good things for y'all and really open y'all's eyes and get y'all in tune with the Lord. And if you're out here doing a lot of street stuff, really hit the street and really do what you need to be doing. But what you're called to do is what you need to be doing. What you're called to do is what you need to be doing. If you're out, if you're called to be a full evangelist guy here, get up on stage and hitting it all the time as much as you can. And, you know, it's whatever you're called to do, you need to do the most of that. You need to really manifest it and work in that office that the Lord is really using you for. And it's kind of unique. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, living a supernatural life with the Lord is amazing. I wouldn't want to live no other way. Because to me, any other life is boring. You know, when you're living with the Lord and he's in you, he's working through you, he's using you for a vessel. When he's using you for a vessel, there's nothing that I'll say is unimaginable. You never know what he's going to do through you. And, you know, you can be walking in the store. You don't know nobody in the store. Sometimes you might be walking somewhere and all of a sudden, you know, you've got a word of knowledge to say to somebody. And you just got to have that braveness to say something to them. And I had an experience the other day. I think it was Thursday. We went to the Waffle House. Me and my wife went there, Nate. And the waitress came over there. And this is something everybody should do. And I'm no special person by no means. But, you know, I got a word of knowledge about a young boy, and the first thing popped up was I said, "Ma'am, excuse me, you have a young son around 6, 7. And she thought, "No, I don't." So I know what I got was real. So I mean, I did this a little bit. So I said, "Do you know anybody around you that does have a young son?" So, "Oh, yeah, my sister's son is going through a lot of issues right now. Or, you know, the daddy don't want to have nothing." I said, "Well, I want to relay this to you. The Lord already loves your sister's boy, and he wants everybody else to show him more love. Because in this situation, you know, nobody's showing him love. He's confused. He needs help. He needs your love right now more than telling him what to do and what to jump up and do. And he needs to do this. He needs to do that. But just show him some understandings and love, and that's what the Lord wants you to do. So thank you, I'll tell my sister," you know, that type of thing. And a lot of times that I see people get words of knowledge is as soon as they go to somebody and it's not right on the head, they give up. Well, it could be something else, you know, that's fine. But the thing of it is, that word of knowledge had some stability to it. You just had to see where it was. Now, I'm not saying you're fishing. A lot of people say that's a psychic fishing thing. That's what psychics do. No. Psychics come up with something that has nothing there, really, and they're just trying to build a case for it. But if somebody actually sees a thing and it really has a relation thing to it and really grows into something that is really touching. And I'm going to tell you one thing. A word of God is going to put glory into that person. They're going to feel the presence of God on them. Every person I've ever talked to, I saw tears. I saw things come out of them because the presence of God has actually touched them. And I've also saw people at work, when they get a word of knowledge, their production would go up. So would a psychic word, you know, something psychic would make their production go up? No, only God could do that. So, I mean, it's something there. Everything that Jesus does through you has a touch of him, has an identification of him on that. And you can always see it. You can see something going through that. And Jesus is full of miracles. I mean, soon as you're getting something from him and it touches another human soul, it's going to do a transformation no matter what it is. It's going to turn their heart. It's going to, you know, start changing things in their heart to help turn them into what he wants to see, no matter what it is. It could be a simple word of knowledge. It could be, you know, anything. You know, it could be healing the leg, you know, praying for the leg to grow out. It could be, you know, praying for a sickness to go away. I mean, whatever it is, it's going to touch somebody and it's going to transform them and the Lord is going to be involved. And you're just planting a seed. You're planting that seed to grow within their life where it could really, really make a difference in their life and see a lot of things growing and even bring them into the kingdom a lot quicker. And they're like, "Well, you know, this sickness or this cold went away. This dude prayed in Jesus' name. Man, I really want to know about Jesus." And all of a sudden, they go and accept the Lord, and everything's changing for them. So you never know where that's going to go. Just step out that extra mile and see what happens. So,
hey,
Chuck.
Hey, one thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Matt.
One thing I was going to say about that is too, when you get words of knowledge or you're pressing in and asking the Lord, I mean, he's a God of honor. I said that earlier, and he's going to talk to you when you talk to him. And walking in the Spirit is simply like fixing all your attention and your just your focus on him, you know, your delighting in him, so to speak. It's like it ain't got to be super spiritual. If you're talking to your waiter and stuff like that, I mean, you can present what you're getting in such a way that it's not like they're not going to weird out if they're not a Christian or whatever. But ultimately, you do want to, like, you want to kind of, like, ease into the situation, or most of the time that's what I do until I kind of get a feel for, is their heart open, you know, or they, you know, because if you come across super spiritually, I mean, and God will grace the situation too, you know, you just be led of the Lord. But it's like you can speak into their life in a way that's just profound, where you're not wigging them out immediately, you know. Because sometimes when you do that, what they do is they hit the off switch before you really can be like, this person is weird or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I know the grace of God also will, like, overshadow. I've seen people that are just hard as a rock when you talk to them, just melt at the drop of the presence of the Lord, just falling immediately
yeah.
to you. So it's really cool.
Yep. I saw some hard men, man. I mean, you couldn't really get a prayer for healing in, and all of a sudden you drop a word of knowledge that nobody knows, and that word of knowledge, they accept that in their heart, and all of a sudden you see tears just pouring because the Lord has just touched them with a word of knowledge. He's trying to find some way into their heart, and when they accepted that, he got to come in and do what he needs to be doing. And it's always it's always a way in that the Lord can touch the person. And sometimes people's lives, you know, builds up such a hardness that we're the workers to trying to tear down those walls where they can leave, where Jesus can get in and do what he needs to do to help save their soul and save their life, you know, and renew their body and soul and all that. And that's one thing. Now, Chuck, what have you experienced going through that, man?
Well, I mean, I learned through Power and Love when I did the first show with you guys. I really learned about words of knowledge. Dude, you're going to be scared to death. Yeah, I remember the first time I went to try it, I was like shaking and scared, and what if I miss God? And then I found out that I really can't wreck God's plans. He's God. So I think
yeah.
I think God's more proud of us attempting to hear his voice than he is us making a simple mistake of missing his voice, because we live our lives missing his voice. I mean, you can just look at the normal public. People are missing his voice. So I don't – and, of course, me coming from an old-line Pentecostal theology being taught growing up, you know, like if you sneezed wrong, God was just going to strike you dead and kill you. And it's,
yeah.
it's not that way. I get more enjoyment out of watching my kids try to do something and fail than to sit down and play Wii all day long and not try anything at all. So
yeah.
He understands we're in our humanity, our finiteness, that we're going to miss it. I think he gets the enjoyment of us just trying. And look at it from the other person's perspective, that if I miss it, I just tell people, oh, well, you know, I heard it in my heart. I was going to pray for you. You know, I'm sorry, I'm trying to hear God. You know, sorry to bother you or whatever. The Lord bless you. And don't speak Christianese to them. I mean, Chris was all over that. We speak so much King James to people that they don't understand nothing we say. But the fact that if I am on, then that person can encounter Jesus in a moment, and I don't want to rob them of that. So I have to be willing to be vulnerable to admit that I may miss it, I may make mistakes, but it's the oak tree coming out of the acorn, it's growing pains. I'm getting to where the oak tree, but right now it's an acorn. So we have to grow in it, because I was praying one time about all this stuff when God started showing it to me, and it was like I heard him simply say, Chuck, you have it, just grow in it. And that day in my normal Bible reading, Jesus was, you know, having this huge apologetic debate with the Pharisees about whose father is who, and he said, you don't know my father, but I know my father because my father taught me. So if God taught Jesus and the Holy Spirit is our teacher as well, I mean, we got to understand that in learning, you miss it sometimes. But I didn't learn how to walk. I learned how to quit falling. So it's the mistakes that teach you how to hit it right. I mean, when I was in the police academy, you shoot a few times, you miss the target, you don't throw the gun down and go, I can't do it. You just keep shooting until you hit the target. So that's just
yeah.
my approach towards words of knowledge or encountering people on the street. You just have to push past your feelings and the fear and the, oh, my God, what if I miss it? You can't mess it up for God. He's Jesus. He can figure it out.
Amen. Amen. That's it.
He's
already.
Hey.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about the mustard seed, you know. And you're so good, Chuck, about that. the acorn. That is awesome. But I was thinking, Jesus said it even smaller than that. And he said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You know, and that's so awesome because, man, that shows you that your ability, it's not your ability, it's his ability. It's him moving. And you're just going with the flow of his leading. And it's so awesome about, like, moving forward and not learning how not to fall, because that's everything. You walk, your steps, you sit there and you learn how not to fall, you know, how not to be on your belly. And then same thing, riding a bike. I mean, it's everything. But that's so good, man. That's, go ahead.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's, you know, as a body of Christ, we've all got to walk. We've all got to learn how to walk in our, I'll say, in our office and what we're set up to do. And, you know, we've got to see what's really going on. And it's just unique. You know, you've got to, you know, put on your training wheels first and learn how to walk in your ministry, how to walk with the Lord. And then all of a sudden the training wheels goes off. Then you're going full force and you're going faster. You're going faster. You're doing more than you've ever done before. And, you know, that's the way it goes with anything. It's just the way it goes with a child riding a bike. It's just the way it is with anything. I mean, like, I know there's a lot of, you know, boys out here, they start out on a go-kart. They start working and repairing their go-kart. And then after they start working and repairing their go-kart, they start racing their go-kart. And then when they got a little older, it started going to a old beat-up car from the junkyard and repairing the car and the engine from the junkyard, and before you know it, they're racing that car, and then before you know it, they're getting good at racing that car, and then it goes up to maybe NASCAR, maybe it's Draxton, I don't know what it is, but that's just for the guys to understand where I'm going from. But it's just, you know, you're starting out small, turn to something medium-sized and then large, and you could look at every ministry starts like that. Just from a guy just having a dream, starting from the dream, and the Lord taking that dream and really building his kingdom up with that little dream that guy had. So, you know, everybody starts that way. And, you know, just whatever you're going to have, you know, it's going to start growing this year. It's going to expand pretty quick. So get ready for the ride, folks. So, you know, it's going to be fun. But that's all I'm going to have for today's show. And I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to the show, whether it's live, podcast, however you may be listening. I really thank y'all for coming in and listening to the show. I do encourage everybody to share these shows because it helps bring more people to the Healing Light show and get them, you know, get them listening to the shows and get them used to our preaching, get them used to our way we do things around here and really get the Word of God to these people. And that's what our show is all about, is getting the Word of God to you and get your eyes open for the Lord, and that's what we're all about. And at this time, anybody ain't really accepted the Lord, I want to give this chance for you. And I do this on Wednesday shows because we do a lot of preaching and stuff like that, but I'm going to do this on some Saturday shows too. And at this time, I ask everybody just to say this prayer with me if you've not accepted the Lord and you just broadcast or actually got onto this show just now online, however. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my heart, Lord. I repent of every sin that I've ever done. I hand them all to you and to the cross. I accept that you died on the cross for me. I also accept that you rose on the third day for me. I ask you to come and live with inside of me for eternity. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you just said this, Lord, it just came into you. It's what we believe. And at this time, Lord, I ask you to come upon these people. Bring your presence so strong amongst these people that it's unboundable. They can't, you know, they know that you're there. Just bring your presence upon these people now in Jesus' name. Just hit them like an armed fist. Just slam them. with your presence and let them know that you're there. You are their Lord and Savior, that you are working on them. You are turning them into you. You're transforming them to be a likeness of you. Just reveal that. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to come down on them. Just fill them up. Fill them up where they need to be. If there's any hole that the enemy has put in them, I ask you to fill that up. Go inside their heart and turn their heart where they can feel you. They can feel a transformation in their heart. I ask you just to fill them up. Fill them up. Just fill their bodies up. Start transforming them. Just fill them up now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. Just fill them up. 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 Anybody that needs a fresh refill of the Holy Spirit, just fill these people up now, Holy Spirit. Just fill them up. 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 Holy Spirit, just fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up with the new covenant. Fill them up with the new flame. Fill them up with the blue flame. The blue flame that the Lord is pouring out, the hottest flame, the blue flame. Just refill them up. Fill them up with this blue flame. Just fill them up. 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 Set them afire. Set them ablaze. Fill them up. 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 Holy Spirit, just fill them up. Amen. Amen. Anybody just said the prayer I said a while ago? The Lord just came into your heart. He's built his kingdom inside of you. And we want to thank you all for listening to the show this day. Chris and Chuck, thank you for coming on the show today with me.
And, no way. No problem.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. It was awesome.
Amen. And it's been a great show today. We've covered a lot of areas, and I'm sure this show is going to help a lot of people. And it's going to touch a lot of people and open their eyes to this coming year. That's what it's all about. And we're going to have a guest on coming this next Saturday. And I had this brought up. And he's coming out of Durham, Raleigh, Durham is where he's actually from. And I think his name is Perry Mason. Perry Mason. And he has an evangelism ministry that he does. And he has a lot of great things to talk about. And, Perry K. Mason, and he's going to be talking about his ministry and how the Lord has been using him and a lot of churches around the surrounding areas. And about the Shekinah glory, that's a real big thing about his ministry is the Shekinah glory. He's going to be talking about that, and it's going to be an amazing day. It's going to be an amazing time to hear some of the things he's going to talk about. And I really encourage y'all to come back this next coming Saturday. I do invite y'all to come back Wednesday because we have our Wednesday show, and we pick a good topic each week to talk about it. And, Lord really picks these topics to touch people, to let them know about the Word of God and know what He's speaking to y'all. And that's why we do this. And we do have a prayer time for healing and stuff like that after the show. We do encourage people to call in. Some people don't. Some people just listen and get the healing from just listening to the show. And that's amazing, too. So however you want to do it, that's great. I do encourage people to post their prayers on the Healing Light Facebook page that we do pray over. I just had one not too long ago. I've been praying over that. I do encourage Chris and Chuck to just look at that. If you see anything posted up there, just pray on this for these people. And we'll keep our prayers on you and see things change. We do want to know if anything's happening, if the Lord is really touching these people we're praying for, to encourage us a little bit more and to do more things. So it's a win-win for both situations because, you know, encouragement helps everybody. And that's what it's all about. And it helps us, encourages us in our walk with the Lord, too. So it's always great. And, just check out the Healing Light page. And I think, Chuck, you have a page, too, your ministry. You want to advertise that?
Yeah, sure. You can find out about us at thewellministry.webs.com.
Amen. Amen. Just check out Chuck McDonald there. He's also on Facebook. You can friend him and The Well and really get in touch with his ministry. And I think you play a lot of music for revivals and stuff too, don't you, Chuck?
Well, not really revivals. With Tammy and Mike, you know, a lot of 24-hour, like what the burn was going on that Chris was at, just where it's like a international house of prayer type feel from Kansas City, where you go in and you just do worship continually. And I'm usually one of the groups that, you know, I'll come in. I like to do the late night hours because that's where Jesus is at, you know, just acoustic guitar, just come in and lead worship for a few hours and also do some evangelistic work locally and stuff too.
That's awesome. So he does that type of things, and, you know, you can show up some events that he goes to, and it's awesome. And, you know, it's awesome how the Lord uses us in many different ways, and that's one of the ways. And, you know, Chris, do you have anything going and that you really want to talk about, any events happening in your area?
Well, the burn, well, New Burn Ablaze is going on this weekend, and what that is it's Todd Bentley is here at the New Bern Supernatural School of Ministry and the church at New Bern, and I just wanted to give a holler or a shout out for that. I'm going to be involved with that this weekend.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of different things going on, and I do want to put out something. If anybody is interested in having the Healing Light team to come out and do a ministry, to do a ministry, ministry preaching or a little revival thing, if you're interested in that, just contact me at Stan Shell on Facebook. If you're interested for us to just come out and minister healing, and minister the Word of God to your church, just contact me, and I am thinking about doing that, bringing some of my team together, bringing some of the evangelists together, and going out doing this. So if y'all are interested, just contact me, and I'll see what I can do. So God bless every one of y'all, and we will, I'll say me and Robert will see you Wednesday, and Chris and I love to see you Saturday. God bless everyone. Oh, yeah, and Chris will see you Wednesday because he's in with the crew for Wednesday, too. So God bless y'all, and we will see you.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When man can even fathom, no, not one define your worth. As we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth. scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start, but it's now that I feel you breathe for like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain. As I still believe in your faithfulness, as I still believe in your truth, I still seem to bear. Or even when answers slowly unwind, it's my heart I see you prepare. But it's now that I feel your grace fall like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain.
Thank you. than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart.
Let faith arise.